Welcome, our friends, the Second Congregational, where we do one thing. We preach the Word of God. Amen. We don't put any burdens on you. We don't ask you. We just ask you to listen to the Word of God, sir. Let it into your spirit. Amen. In this church, we want you to grow closer to God. Who? You. We want you to know God in your life for a Monday afternoon, for a Thursday night, for a Friday, whatever it is you're going through every day. We want you to know that God is listening and God is with you. Amen. We are not alone. Can I get an amen? Amen. Everybody's feeling good this morning.
The wrong guitar today.
I know. You had to tell everybody. They would have never noticed. I took the wrong guitar out of the closet. That's all right. She knows what she's doing. I have the drums playing because the Bible says, let everything praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says, praise the Lord with stringed instruments and with cymbals and with clapping and with singing. Amen. And this morning we're celebrating. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Celebrate with us. Celebrate with God this morning.
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. He is risen. He is risen. Oh,
hearted. I want you to celebrate. I want you to feel. I want you to know that God loves you. Amen. We might be a small church, but when you look at the Bible and you read the Bible, those are all small churches. Amen. Small churches that Paul and Peter put together and John put together. And they came together and they built small churches. Why? To help everybody in each neighborhood. Amen. And as we grow in a church, we become a family. Amen. If we're so many people, we won't know our brothers and sisters. But because we're drawing to God and we're drawing a small church like this, we get to know one another and we pray for one another, amen, and we lift each other up, amen. That's what God calls us to do, and today is our celebration. For all the things that you pray to God about, for all the things that you ask God for, this is a celebration. Because of what Jesus did, you can enter the throne room. Who can enter? Hallelujah. You don't need somebody else going into the throne room for you anymore because of what Jesus did, amen. You can enter. Hallelujah. And these are the times you need to celebrate. And let me tell you one thing the Bible says. Not what your pastor says. The Bible says he inhabits the praise of his people. And I know the folks that come to this church every week, they hear that from me. The Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. Amen. So when you're praising him, no matter where you are, he is with you. Amen. And the more you feel that and know that, hallelujah, the celebration. Thank you, Lord. How you feel, God? Why me, Lord? What have I ever done that was worth even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord. Just listen. listen to the music and let the Spirit fill you. The joy of Easter. How many family members you have here today? And her joy when you walked in, her joy, the gift of love, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and pray together this morning as we always do on Sunday mornings. We'll pray the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. That's our promise. Amen. In Jesus' name, be seated, everybody. Hallelujah. You know, he gave us that prayer as a guideline to acknowledge who our Father is in heaven and all the blessings. And I always like that part, on earth as it is in heaven. And if Jesus said it, then I think we can have it, amen, on earth as it is in heaven. I really believe we can. Maybe not for the world, but we start in our home, amen. We start in our town. We start in our city. And I believe we can have it on earth as it is in heaven. I believe it. You know why? Because God says so. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to read together. We call it the responsive reading, Psalm 50. I will start and enjoy with us. Read God's word with us. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined forth.
Hallelujah. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him.
He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that ye may judge his people.
Hallelujah. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge.
Hallelujah. God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High.
Whoever
offers praise glorifies me.
And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Hallelujah. Whoever offers praise glorifies God. Amen. Hallelujah. When you buy a new car, Greg and Jackie, you want to tell everybody about it, right? You're happy. When your team wins the World Series, you tell everybody about it. Amen. When the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl, right? Mary and Joseph can't. See, when good things happen, you tell people about it. But I'm telling you, every day, God is doing good something for you. Amen. Something you should be telling other people about, what God did for you today. The blessings of what you have. If you give God thanks for just waking up this morning, which wasn't promised yesterday, by the way, amen, according to the word, then you say, Lord, thank you for blessing me with another day to do good, to love, to see my family, to share with my neighbors, amen. Those are blessings. And I know people worried. How many here are worried about something today? Are you? Praise God. Thank you. Put your hands up. You know you are. I'm just telling you, here's what you need to do. You need to go back 6 months. Not even a year, not 2 years. I'm telling you to go back 6 months. If you can go back and remember the things you were worried about 6 months ago, and you see that God carried you from that point to this point, you see, you start to give thanks, amen. You don't have to go back far to realize what God got you through, whether it be a traffic, whatever a job, whatever a mate, whatever's going on in your life, how he got you from 6 months ago to today, this beautiful Sunday in March. Isn't that enough to give him thanks for? And he's saying, I'm going to carry you through. And the sad part with the young kids, and I love the young being here, but when you get to be my age, when you get to be older, like George Marsh, you realize how much God has done for you all your life, and you realize what a fool I was to worry about so many things, because worry is not from God and it causes the body to be sick. But when you give it to God, when you give your troubles to God and you get that peace, healing begins. Amen? People say, oh, I don't believe in healing. Of course, when you start to feel good, your body starts to feel good. Your body heals. Your mind is at peace. Your arms feel better. The tension. Anybody ever have stress and tension? That's not from God. Amen? And I'm not saying you're doing something wrong when you have stress and tension. Because guess what? I have it every day too. You see, I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I'm with you. I ask God, and God bless me to be able to preach the Word of God to people, to teach people the Word of God. Don't judge a book by its cover, please. I love that. But I'm with you walking through that door. You see, it doesn't matter what nationality you are, amen? It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who you are. When you walk through those doors, you walk through those doors as sinners. That's simple, amen? All who fall short. But Jesus said, I will lift you up. I will cover your sins with my blood. And he did it where? On the cross. So when we walk through those doors, though we may be sinners in the flesh, God is seeing his children come home, amen? Seeing his children come to hear more and give them strength. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And this is our victory today. Praise the Lord. This is our victory. Thank you, Lord. This is the day. Let me read this, Corinthians. I'm going to do kind of testimony right into the sermon. So, because I've been working on this for like 3 weeks. There's so much. Let me read. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Paul is telling us in Corinthians, Dominic. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For whose glory? Hallelujah. Again. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now you say that, Pastor, what is the, it says they're the rulers of this age. You know who the rulers of this age are, aren't you? It's Satan and his angels, amen? His followers are the rulers of this age, the powers of principality, amen? The things, the evil that you see, those aren't people. Those are people who have evil inside of them, not from themselves, but from Satan, amen? They've opened up themselves, and Satan put these things in their head, in their heart, and they've fallen short, amen? They've lost track of love. They've lost track of compassion, see? Amen? And the Bible's telling us that he kept it from Satan. So the Son of God is about to die. Amen? He's on the cross. He's about to die. Satan, who?
Satan.
He thought he had, Gary, his greatest victory. He's walking around saying, this is it. I got victory now. The Son of God's going to die. He thought he was at the greatest victory. Satan. He'd done all he could to get to this place. And let me tell you what you might have missed. Satan did what seemed impossible. What did he do, Dale? He got the church to do his bidding. Satan got the church to do his bidding. When you read the word, who wants Jesus crucified? The Romans, the church, the Pharisees, the high priests, the scribes. He got them to do his work. How did he do it? By greed and power, self-worth, ego, pride. They all had that. They didn't want to give up their power. They didn't want to give up their place. And Satan went right into the center of the church and had the church turn their back on Jesus. Amen? He placed those things in their heart. Them, pride, ego. I tell you that pride is the greatest sin of all, because it keeps you from ever looking in the mirror and seeing what I can do to be better. Amen? You're always looking at the other person. Hallelujah. But he took that into the church. Imagine that. Just imagine that. He put greed in the hearts of these people who should have known who Jesus was immediately. Amen? They knew this. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophecies of Isaiah. They know the writing of David. They knew, yet they were so under Satan that they were the ones who did the bidding for Satan. Amen? Just imagine. But listen, even Satan missed the teachings of Jesus. Why? Why did he miss it? Now you gotta, Jim, he was walking with Jesus. He knows what Jesus was saying, but he missed it. Let me tell you why he missed it. Because Jesus spoke calmly. Amen? He spoke quietly. He spoke with love and tenderness. Jesus spoke with forgiveness and compassion. All traits that evil does not understand. Are you with me? So as Jesus was preaching love and eternity and his Father, they didn't hear any of that. To die on the cross. He said to be raised up in 3 days. Satan did not understand that. He was blind with revenge. Gary, he was blind with hate. He was blind to the truth. Satan was lost in self-worth. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now you say, thank you. Send a check to that church, Chuck. That's the Episcopal church on the other side of the green. They ring their bells for us once in a while, and when we do, we like to send them a little check. Now here's the thing, we celebrate the resurrection. We you know, some people on Good Friday, they carry a cross through town. They kind of, in a tradition, show what Jesus went through. And I say, he already did that, amen? Why go back and suffer the pain again? Why go back and suffer the disease? If you had something wrong with you, if you were sick and medicine and God cured you and healed you, you don't want to go back every 6 months and relive the pain, do you? You want to relive now. You want to have the victory today. So you say, I want to teach you, I want to talk to you today a little bit about something maybe you didn't think about or haven't thought about. Dominic, where did Jesus go? He died. He died on the cross. But where did he go? What did he do? See, this is part of the victory. Say that with me. Part of the victory. So, okay, Pastor, let's go. Let's go back now. Let's go back to Luke. Luke talked about Lazarus, the beggar man. How many remember that story, the beggar man? Amen? He was with Lazarus, the beggar man, who had nothing. He was a poor man. And when he died, what happened? The angels of the Lord came, lifted him up, and brought him to Abraham's bosom. The Bible says that in Luke. Said that he picked up Lazarus. The angels came as soon as he died. When? As soon as he died. His last breath, his first breath, the angels came, picked him up, brought him to Abraham's bosom. And we learned that that's paradise. We learned that it's a place of peace and a place of serenity like none of us can imagine. Amen. The Bible says that. We can't imagine, Lisa, how great a place God has prepared for. So the Bible says that Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom where he's resting in peace. And we also know that Lazarus' boss dies. His master. And he's in the other side of the abyss. He's in torment. Amen. It even says that he says, Lazarus, dip your finger in the water so that I can just have a little drink, because he's in torment. Amen. He's in agony. So that we know that that part of Hades exists. Amen. Because the Bible says, and we know that Lazarus went to the blissful part. He went to paradise. Okay, we know that. Now in Luke it tells us about the man on the cross. How many remember the man? There were three of them, amen. Jesus and two men. And Luke tells us that one of them says, take me with you, take me with you. And what does Jesus say to him? What does he say? He says, I got to hear, assuredly I say to you, today, when? You will be with me in paradise. So you see, now you start to get a picture. What was going on? Hallelujah. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Now we got more. I got more. Jesus, who? Okay, this is his words now, not your pastor. Jesus says in Matthew, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So where is Jesus? He's not laying in a tomb, amen? Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. What he did for us has been done, amen? Nothing more needs to be done, yet he had more work to do. Do you think and everybody thinks it, they don't think about what did he lay in the tomb for 3 days and they rolled away the stone and he was gone. No, the Bible tells us what he did, and you want victory, and you want to see victory, you want to see Jesus doing things the way he does, you just have to read. Read in there for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus was talking about Jonah. I've heard scholars say that Jonah wasn't real. I've heard scholars say, people, Bible scholars say that, well, the story of Jonah was just kind of a story about a guy who didn't do what God said, and he went in and you know, the whole fish thing was a story. And I say this, if it was a story, why did Jesus bring it up again? If it was just a story, why would Jesus use it to tell us what he was doing? Amen? I'm telling you that this pastor takes this book literally. What it says, I believe. I don't want to be confused. I don't want to pick and choose. I believe. Are you with me? All right. This is Paul talking to Second Congregational. Talking to who? Hallelujah. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Has anybody here ever seen Paul in the flesh? No, okay, so he's talking to you. That your hearts may be encouraged. Oh, I hope you're encouraged. Being knit together in love. In what? And attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And you know that they were hidden because Satan didn't understand. He didn't see it. Now, Paul is telling this church, us, now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to what he's saying. Lest anyone, he said, unless somebody else comes along and tells you different, he said, this I say, he's telling us. That though he's absent in the flesh, he is with us. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, so walk in him, rooted and built in him, built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And listen to what he said. Listen to this. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. He's saying, be careful, unless somebody cheat you through philosophy. Tell you you have to do this and this to be saved. Tell you you have to be this and this to be forgiven. Amen? Philosophies that are not with God. He's telling you, be careful, lest anybody cheat you with that philosophy. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Means you were taken, you were separated, amen? Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. Through how? You simply believe in the working of God who raised him from the dead. He did what? He raised him from... And you being dead in your trespasses, listen to this little paragraph. You being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How many?
All.
How many?
All
trespasses. And now listen to this. Having wiped out, having what? The handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed, hallelujah, let me go to this, because this is so good. This is it, the handwriting, amen, contrary to us, that we could not keep. He has written, he has taken this out of the way and put himself in front of this, saying anybody who believes in me are covered by the blood that he shed on the cross. These things are real, these things are from God, but he knows that we couldn't keep this, amen. So what he has done with his son is remove these. Amen. Remove these from our the pressure of our lives to just to believe in God. That's what the Bible's saying. That, I mean, you still don't want to commit any of those. But when you love God, these are the last things you want to commit. Honor your mother and father. Amen. Hallelujah. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Now this is one of my favorite little scriptures. Let me go back a little so I can get into the line of this. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, which means we just couldn't keep that. We just, you know, it's contrary to our flesh. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers. And if you want victory, listen to this. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And so, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Having triumphing over them in it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle. Your God, your Jesus, who? He went to paradise. He went down there. And the people, the Satan and all his angels and the whole army of angels, he made a public spectacle of them. He did it on the cross, and he also did it in paradise. Amen. They saw that he had won the battle. Amen. They saw this risen Christ walking with the saints, walking with the people. Amen. He was down there doing something for you, doing something for me, and you always want to see somebody victorious. He was there making a public spectacle of Satan and all his angels. Amen. That's what he was doing. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. A public spectacle. I don't know about you, but it makes me, I can just see my King, my Jesus down there walking and everybody on the other side saying, look, look, it is true. It is Jesus. And Satan and his armies knew that they were what? Defeated. The one thing that he thought he had on us was death, separation. Amen? And God came and took that away from him. The one thing that Satan thought he could win with, he was the biggest loser. Amen? And I don't mean weight-wise. He was the biggest loser. What he thought happened on the cross was his victory, turned out to be his biggest defeat. Amen? It turned out to be whose victory? Wow. Say it. Come on, church. Say it. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. This is his house. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I therefore, Paul is telling the prisoner of the Lord, this is in Ephesians, Dominic, beseech you, listen to this, church. This is for us. This is for today. This is for tomorrow. He's saying, I beseech you. He's saying, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling, which was you were called. with all lowliness and gentleness. With what? Gentleness. With long-suffering. That means forgiving, long-suffering, forgiving, and bearing with one another in love. Hallelujah. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And Paul said, there is one body. How many? And one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And Paul says this, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He did this for who? You. Edifying, lifting up. He called some to be pastors. But listen to what he called you, Joseph, Mary, Walter. Listen to Gary, Marsha, what he called you. Elaine, what he called you. Saints. You're the saints, amen? You're the saints in Christ. You are his chosen people. You are the ones who have given your heart to him, amen? This is the body. This is the body, but this church is what? The bride. The bride, amen? And on a wedding day, what is the bride doing? She's making herself ready, making sure the gown's ready, the hair's ready, the veil's ready, everything's ready. This church is making it ready for when Jesus comes, and he will walk through that door and see the bride ready for the groom, amen? That's what we're doing. And he's looking at his saints. Are you with me? These are things that we need to know and understand what Easter is all about. Understand where he went. So when your children or somebody else says, what does Easter mean? You got the answer. It means victory. Well, what did God do on the cross? He died. Then what happened? He went and made a show of them openly. He walked around and told, and they got to see Jesus alive. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Timothy says this. There is one God. How many? And one mediator. How many? Between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. You have the key to the door. Amen? You have the key to the throne room. You have the promise to be able to go to God anytime and sit and talk with him. Anybody ever just go to God and talk with him? I love doing that. Just go to God and say, hey, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all these beautiful things. Thank you for my car. Thank you for the jobs. Yeah, all that stuff. But, I mean, just talk to him. I tell people all the time, and sometimes you miss it. Bill, this to me, this is one of the most beautiful times of the year for God. Because we had nothing to do with the woods and the trees and the grass. We had nothing to do with the fields and the mountains. Amen? But he's about to make them look beautiful. The flower. Anybody see any tulips growing on the side of the road? Anybody see lilies growing on the, flowers growing on the side of the road? Did anybody here plant them? No. But when I see them growing and I see the leaves start to come out, I see the greens, I say, Lord, you're about to paint us a picture again, aren't you? And as he paints the picture, every day he says to you, how do you like me now? And the grass starts to turn green and the leaves come out and the flowers start to bloom and the colors. God is saying, how do you like me now? Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that. When you start to say, thank you, Lord, all of a sudden you say, hey, I'm talking to God. And maybe I'll have a bigger conversation with him. So, you know, I got things going on in my life, Lord. Can you help me walk through them? Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching My preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we and I have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That one line, I think of my mother and my father. I think of my grandparents who I never had the glory to meet, to know. I think of those, my friends who have passed. And it says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. I think of them, then I will not see them. It said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. If all we have is a hope in something that didn't exist, Paul is saying, we are so pitiful. But we have hope, amen? We have a promise. That's why I'm here preaching to you. That's why you're here believing and wanting to hear. We have a promise. I know that I will hold my mom again. I know that I will hold my daddy again. I know that I will see my loved ones again and my friends and family. I know that because I believe God. Amen. I don't believe unbelievers. I don't let unbelievers dictate to me what a Christian is. I don't listen to somebody who doesn't believe in God tell me what a Christian should do. They have no idea. They have no idea what a Christian is. I believe God. I don't believe that I have to go to somebody else and confess my sin to somebody else for God to hear my voice. I'm not saying that you have to believe that or not. I'm just saying the Bible says there's one mediator between me and God. That's it. I don't believe that God sees my sins and I'm in a place of peril because my heart loves him. I believe that I fall short daily. I believe I am not perfect. I believe that I do things wrong daily. I believe I make lots of messes.
Amen.
Easy on there. Men preaching are no different than you. They were called. Many are called, few are chosen. They were called to share the word with brothers and sisters so that when you leave here, you're stronger in yourself, not in anybody else. You're stronger in yourself with God, and then that makes you help others. That makes you feel like you have a purpose, amen? You are never alone. God always has more. And you saw something this week, and I just want to add this. Wasn't in my notes. Forgive me. You saw two people in Brussels. There were three of them. Greg, they were in their 20s. They gave their life up. They gave their life up. When I was in my 20s, I was dreaming of playing on stage at the Grand Ole Opry. I was dreaming about getting a new car, getting married, having children, having wonderful things in life, sharing life, doing all kinds of things, seeing the country, seeing the Grand Canyon, having things with... When I was in my 20s, every part of my life was in front of me, and I was running to grab at it. Evil stole that from those three boys. You might look at them and hate them, but don't hate them. Evil stole that. They were so blind that they gave up the one gift that they only get once in their 20s. And it made my heart so sad because our God, this God, wants everybody to feel the love and compassion and understanding. We don't judge anybody. I don't care if you go to the casino 7 days a week. That's not my call. That's you and God. Amen. I don't judge your choices in life, who you choose to be with, who you don't. I tell you to look and you search for God and let God take care of that. Amen. But because God is compassion and God is forgiveness, and I tell you over and over again, when we get to heaven, and how many are going? Praise the Lord. When you get there, you're going to be surprised at who you see there. Really? And God's going to say, yes. He asked for forgiveness, and I gave it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody ever eat an apple? Take an apple off the tree. It's really pretty, really nice, and all that shiny. And you put the apple on the table, and if you don't eat it for 2 months, what happens to it? It just dies, right? It just, the flesh gives away and everything, and it dies. And you're left with what? A seed. Amen? So you had the apple, and the apple died, and you're left with a seed. The seed of what? The apple. So when you take that seed and you put that seed from one apple in the ground, what happens? You get an apple tree. So the second is greater than the first. Amen? I use that little analogy just to give you a visual about what we're going to close here with. Hallelujah. Corinthians. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? I love Paul. He says, foolish one. I love he says that. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Amen. That apple had to die first to make the tree. Amen. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. You don't take that apple and stick it in the ground. You sow the seed. But God gives it a body as he pleases. And to each seed, its own body. To each seed, its what? Own body. All flesh is not the same kind of flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another, star in glory. Hallelujah. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. We were born in corruption. The Bible says we all fall short. And it's raised in incorruption. Hallelujah. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Amen. You know our body. Is it weak? It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Amen. What you have right here. Say that with me. Natural body. Hallelujah. I'm just reading from God. It is raised a spiritual body. Hallelujah. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. The apple was first and after the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven, and was the man of dust. So also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall, say that with me, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Raised up. Not in this body. We don't want this body. When we're raised up, we're going to raise up with a body of power. A body that won't grow old. A body that won't grow weak. Incorruptible. Perfect. Amen. In whose likeness? God's likeness. Why do we believe this? This is our victory. This is the resurrection. We shall follow him. Amen. This is our promise. And as I said, those three boys, my heart ached. Of course, you're angry about what happened, but you look deeper and you see these three boys gave up the life that they had. Any hopes and dreams and anything that they wanted was in front of them, but they got blinded by evil. See, our God simply wants to give you love. He wants to give you compassion. He wants you to learn about forgiveness. He said, when you forgive others, you shall be forgiven. Amen. So whatever comes against you, when you forgive, amen, God says he forgives you. And sister, I'm so glad you came here today, because we talk about that church in Carolina where that man went into that church and did the unthinkable. And I think of those people in that church who stood up and said, no, amazing grace. And each one said, I forgive them. And that was the end. You didn't hear anything from them because they got their peace through the forgiveness. Their hearts are heavy. Their hearts were sad. Their hearts were torn apart. But their spirit became stronger because they used the word of Jesus. I forgive them. Forgiveness is the key. If you have anything against anybody today, ask for forgiveness. Shake their hand. Say, I'm sorry. And start anew. Amen. You don't say you're sorry in the next minute, do the same things or say the same things or be the same way. Really, today, start anew, because this is a new day. This is your victory day with Jesus. Amen. This is why we are Christians. This is why this book is our lifeblood. Amen. Give him praise, church.
today, you will be with me in paradise. Forgive me, Lord.
So you can't walk through them no matter how hard you try. That every time you fall down, he will lift you up. Every time you trip, he will catch you. Every time you walk to the left, he will pull you to the center. When you're calling on him and you do a decision that wasn't the right one, he will make it right. He will make a way where there is no way. He will guide you, lead you, as long as you focus on him and not on yourself, not on pride. Lean not on your understanding, and you will get so much wisdom from God. He loves you and wants you to prosper. He loves you and wants you to have good success. Why wouldn't you want him in your life? Thank you, Lord. Just the last 6 months, the things he's carried you through, the things he's blessed you with. The fact that 6 months ago you were praying and 6 months and here we are, that those 6 months you've had time with God. Just that's enough to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why should I worry? God's with me. Nothing formed against me can prosper. God is with me. John 17:20 says right here in your bulletin on the back page, Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. I just ask you to say, I believe, Lord. Through your word. You must say it. You don't have to say it so the world can hear you. But it's through your word. And when you speak faith, it enters your ears and enters your spirit and helps that grow through the word of God. Hearing by faith. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And in Matthew, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. You want to take that to the visual place that I take it? As you praise God and you thank him and you confess him before men, he is confessing your name before our Father who art in heaven. Jesus said that. Be that way. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Word of God says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Last time I looked, praise was a sound. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, children, this isn't a story. This is real. This is our hope for eternity. This in this life gives us strength, gives us courage, and gives us faith, and gives us peace. This is what we believe. Our hope for ever and ever. With those that we lost, those that we love, family that we never met, but more so to be with Jesus. This is our victory day. So let's do this in Jesus' name. Amen. He inhabits the praise of his people. Church, can we praise him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift them up. If you're shy to praise him in church, I know you're not going to praise him in the middle of Walmarts. But trust me, we do all the time. We thank God all the time. We praise God all the time. Whether it be Walmarts. How many here pray everywhere? I know you all do. Don't even raise your hands. Because I know everybody who goes to a restaurant and eats before you eat, you pray. I know you do. Each and every one of them. I know you do. I know we have committee meetings. And I know before the committee meeting, Dave or somebody opens in prayer. I know they do. I know because it's God, amen? I bet you prayed before you talked to that guy about getting that car. Anybody want a wheel and deal for a car? You see Jackie, she got the power. You got to be able to get up and like you're going to walk out, and then they roped you right back. I believe that we need to pray. I know that the young folks pray when they go to school, walking, let me find favor with my teacher. Let me help with this test, Lord. As long as you were doing your homework, doing your little part first, I know that God says, I'll help you. The Holy Spirit inside said, oh, no, that's not the right, over here. I believe God does that, amen? I believe that love. Are you happy this morning, Maestro? She's not even, how you doing up there? I thought I saw something a little over there. There it is. Oh, there she is. Oh my God, she's beautiful. Praise God. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have. How many know that? Prayer is the most powerful tool.